You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network.
Happy Monday, Waterloo Region. It is May the 24th, Victoria Day. We have a Victoria Day show lined up for you today. We'll be talking to Jake Feeney, who joins us on a web conference, and we'll be having lots of Canadian content and KW content music. Right now, we're listening to Jairus Sharif, some saxophone music to get us going. This is from his Mega Optics album. It's called MOAS03. A bit reminiscent of Syrinx, which I've played on the show before. After we've listened to Jairus Sharif, we'll get into the interview with Jake Feeney and talk about his new single called Sunrise.
So I was a little eager to get back into the writing there. I'm planning to do a few singles, one after another kind of thing. I tried the album. I'm going to try the different approach of, you know, single. So I'll start recording the next one pretty soon. It's already finished, the song. So just the recording production next, and then rinse and repeat.
Just a matter of getting the practicing and getting the timing and intonation and such correct.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And just all the production ideas, I always have some going in, but once you start it, just, it's a whole different game. You hear one thing and then it sparks another thing. So
are you working with a band?
No, I'm not actually. I it'll be our secret, but all the drums and bass and Sunrise are programmed.
Oh,
yeah. I love doing that. I love trying to, you know,
putting musicians out of work.
No, it's just because I'm also here in my bedroom, and it's just room for me, really.
Yeah.
The track you sent to us, it sounds pretty lush. I thought you had a full band backing you up, you know, people playing with you.
Oh, wow. Success then.
Yes, I think so.
Well, I did kind of like program it with a real feel in mind, you know. So I wasn't necessarily going for the digital feel. I was trying to go for the live feel, but just with programmed samples. It's really fun to do that, and I did play the bass, so that, I guess it's really just the drums that are sampled.
Samples. Where do you get those? Where do you get samples?
Well, my dad, who's also a musician, he has built a sample library over his career. So a lot of it is 80s stuff, which I can't say I've gotten used too much of. But here and there, there's a really great, acoustic snare sound that ends up on all my songs, and then I usually just tweak the samples with EQ and stuff like that, just to kind of differentiate it from the original source. But I've gotten all my samples either from my dad or just free ones online, just stuff like that. I've even recorded like some of my own samples, so like smacking the floor, you know, trying to get a kick drum, something like that.
Yeah, that's
a lot of fun.
And what kind of processing do you have to do to that to turn it into music?
Yeah, that when you're doing it like that, like just kicking or stomping, it does take a lot of processing. Usually just EQ, though, like removing, you know, like too much of the low end that comes in when you stomp on the hardwood floor, or just taking out air sound from around. Yeah, it's usually just EQ. I love a little bit of reverb. I like to be modest with the reverb, but I do love it.
And you're making multi-track recordings so that each instrument is on its own channel?
That's right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then do you send that out to be mixed? I was talking to Peter Snow from the Soviet Influence a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he records stuff on multi-tracks and then sends it out to somebody to be remixed, somebody with a different ear.
Right. I did do the mixing and mastering myself for this one, mm-hmm. as I did with Pipe Dreams. I do think I should probably take that advice and go for mastering from somebody else, because the fresh ear is definitely a viable thing.
Yeah.
I did send this last song, Sunrise, out for mastering, and I just wasn't as happy with the result as I did my own master first, and then got somebody else to master it, and I just kind of compared and contrasted, and I might just be stubborn though.
Right. Well, you're going to get a different sound if you have somebody else doing the production stuff.
Right, and sometimes it's just not what you expect, and I took it with a grain of salt. I was like, okay, this isn't going to be what I did, so listen to it and listen to it with an open mind, and I did, and I like certain parts of it. I just, I think I knew what I was going for, and I had gotten it, so it was just more of an experiment kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. So it sounds pretty good. You've posted lyrics on your website, which I have not read.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to the song a couple of times, and mm-hmm. mostly listening to the music, to the melody, not paying attention to the lyrics at all. So you're going to have to fill us in. What's the song about?
Well, that's a hard one. I do write with the kind of approach that, yes, it's about things, or it stems from things in my life, and but I love it to be relatable to anyone. So I don't like to say, oh, it's about this, so then anyone who hears it knows or has a firm idea of what it is, and then that could prevent them from having it relate back to their own life. But basically the song to me is really about holding on to hope for getting through something terrible, I guess, or not terrible, just something tough. So it's kind of my hopeful song, maybe to myself, to remind myself that it's worth fighting to get through something tough.
Is this the pandemic? Is it the pandemic you're singing about? Yeah.
It totally involves that too. Yeah, because everything changed, and everything especially changed with like performing and the style of life I was sort of getting used to with performing and all that. So that changed, and other things changed with that, you know. So it was just like, and the song came together over the course of the year, you know, the lyrics sort of pieced themselves together as the year went on. I had some when I started, but it really was a longer process writing the lyrics for this one.
Yeah. I think we're going to end up with a catalog of music from this year, from the last year, all of which is music about the pandemic, people coping, people striving, people succeeding, people not succeeding so much.
That's right.
The romantic ballad is gone. You now have virus-laden music.
Yeah, exactly. Everything kind of has the corona tint to it.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose, though, that listening to it in the abstract, it can be interpreted any way that you want it to be interpreted. I mean, somebody going right. through a different kind of struggle in their life, not pandemic related, might still appreciate the music and the lyrics, even though it's not exactly about what they're experiencing.
Yeah, that you nailed it. That's exactly what I was. That's exactly what I was going for. Yeah, well, you got it.
Do you find that people come up to you and say, you know, I really loved what you wrote about in this song because I've had this, that, and the other happen, and you know, you nod and smile and say yes, because that wasn't really what you intended.
I've definitely had that happen, and I love to hear that because it goes in hand with what I was just saying, like. When you have your own idea of a song and then somebody tells you something completely different, it's amazing. It's exhilarating because you didn't know that something you create can do that or do that for somebody else. And I'd love to hear that. I encourage anyone to come up and tell me what the song did.
So 20, 30, 40 years from now, when Jake Feeney music is being studied in musicology classes, what happens when they attribute feelings and ideas to your music that wasn't there at all? You know, Jake Feeney, who in 2021 suffered this tragic loss in his life, you know, as his girlfriend up and left him. I don't think that's the case. I've met the both of you.
Yeah, no, she's right here.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
She's good.
Good. So, is that a possible detriment that people will misinterpret your music and you know, treat you differently than what you've actually written about? To know,
I guess so. I guess it is. Yeah, it was always a possibility, but I think that's one of those things that I, you know, will never have control over. So it's not really worth it to worry about, I guess. But yeah, there is the thought, like, oh, it was released in 2021. It must have been about pandemic. And I wonder about that, too. You know, like, will everybody look back at music and art in 2020 as just a reflection of that? But I guess it goes with any time in our timeline. You know, everything is kind of a reflection of the times, right?
Yeah. I suppose we're doing We're doing that today to music that was written, you know, 50, 100 years ago.
Exactly.
The Depression is, what, 80, 90 years ago? And so music that we're listening to then is tainted with our knowledge of history.
That's right. Yeah. It's going to be weird to like you said, in 20, 30, 40 years to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember the songs that were big then.
Yeah. I think we should listen to this. It's called Sunrise.
All right.
And it's from Jake Feeney. Part of an upcoming album or just one
single?
Potentially.
Right now it's just flying on its own, but it could be. It could be.
Okay. Jake Feeney and Sunrise.
Those talks when the engine stops find us going deeper in. Parts of me just wait for them. Get lost in your mind. I shy through my fumble too. Try and shake the apple juice. I am warm in love with you. Every night. Lead the way, and it's hard to see it through when I'm sideways in the same room. And it's hard to see with all you know. Short breeze for your love, I'll be the wind and the sand. Show me little doubt. I'm just a fan. I'm fighting for your hand. When we finally get it done, babe, we'll understand. When I face it, better taste it. pardon my unraveling day. I could loan myself a break, but you know I'm on your side. And it's hard to say it through when I'm sideways in the same room. Short breeze for you, I'll be the wind and the sand. Show me little doubt, I would just defend. Fighting for your hand, and we finally get it done, babe. Well, understand, I'll get the covers from.
Jake Feeney fades out into the background. It's a very slow and quiet song. Still with us, Jake?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Excellent. Good to hear you.
Good to be here.
Having the usual difficulties with the tech over here. While we were talking offline, I hope we were talking offline. It's entirely possible that we were talking on the air. You mentioned that you heard that the tower, our transmission tower, had fallen over, which indeed it had, shortly after you were in the studio with us last year in March, just around the same time that the studio closed. We had a huge disk failure in our online radio management server. And so we're off the air for that, and just around the time we got that up and running again, there was an ice storm, a wind storm, and some of the rivets in the tower had sheared off, and the tower fell over.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, stuff happens and needs to be fixed, and it does cost some money. So it segues somewhat awkwardly into a pitch for fundraising. It's our last day for our spring fundraising drive. It got extended by a couple of days. I think we're at just over $1,000. So we've met our goal. I think we're at about $1,093 at the moment. We've met our goal, but we can always use a bit of extra cash reserve for, you know, contingencies like servers failing and towers falling over. And right now, the transmitter is actually somewhat on its last legs. It's been fading out. People who've been listening to the station for the last, you know, 5, 6, 10 years will have noticed a decrease in the quality of the sound and in the reach of the sound. We're supposed to be a 250 watt station, not megawatts. That would be nice. which gives us a broadcast radius with a good clean signal of about 15 kilometers from where the tower is in Waterloo. That gets us, you know, just to the north end of Cambridge. Should get us well into Elmira, which is where I'm located at the moment. But sadly, I cannot receive the FM signal for CKMS here in Elmira because the transmitter just isn't up to snuff. Now, our station engineer, Matt Persaud, has been working on this diligently, and he's actually got an older transmitter back up and running again, which is powering nicely, but it doesn't connect properly to our antenna. He can't plug it in. Needs to buy a connector, $75, but it's not something that the station has budgeted for. It's money that would have to come out of a reserve fund. So this is why we do the fundraising. We do the fundraising to give us a small buffer of funds for contingencies. Anybody who's out there who wants to donate will help keep us on the air, quite literally help keep us on the air. It helped us get the tower set up again. You know, the folks that do tower installation, they need to be paid. They're not volunteers like everybody else at CKMS. And although Nat, our station engineer, is a volunteer, he still has to go out and buy equipment. So connectors aren't cheap. They're about $75 for a plug, essentially. And if somebody were to make a $75 donation, or if three different people were to make a $25 donation each, we would have that covered. And in a matter of weeks, you'll probably hear a big improvement in our signal, because Nat will have been able to plug the old transmitter that's now fixed up into our transmission tower, and we'll be broadcasting with a nice, clean 250-watt signal again. So that's my pitch. Our spring fundraising drive ends tonight at midnight. So you've got just a little bit over 12 hours, 12 and a half hours or so to make your contributions. If you do make a donation of $25, you get a station membership. And a station membership entitles you to a host your own show certificate, which means that you get to come on the station, on the radio, and host your own show. Anything you like, unusual music. If you're a singer-songwriter, you know, come into the studio and play your music on the air. We'll record it, and you can keep that in our digital library, so you get constant airtime. $25 donation will get you that host your own show certificate. And I think it's entirely possible that during the fundraising drive, like for the next 12 and a half hours, that's been dropped to $20. So a $20 membership during the fundraising drive.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good pitch. I'm interested.
Well,
yeah.
Membership is open to anyone, anywhere, and because you've got all this remote technology available now, there's really no limitation to where you can host your own show from. And you've got the experience, right? You've been in the studio. You're doing a remote broadcast right now, so
That's right.
Go for it. If you want to make a donation, and not just you, Jake, but anybody else, go to radiowaterloo.ca/give. There's a bit of information about the station there with a donate button. The donate button gets you to the pledge form. Once you've made the pledge, that'll show up on our indicator at the top of the webpage right away. Well, within 5 minutes or so, it refreshes every 5 minutes. And then that'll take you, clicking on the donate button on that pledge form will take you to our interactive online accounting program where you can actually make the electronic funds transfer. So it is all easy. It is all automated. If you want to, you can give the station a call too, 519-884-2567. Oh, 2678. Oh, my goodness. Do I even know what the radio station number is?
It's okay. You're running the technical circus here, right?
I certainly am. Yeah. I should take a picture of this at some point and then just give folks an idea of the equipment that we have at the studio that I'm trying to duplicate here with, you know, home consumer level laptops and computers, and although I've got a professional stage mic in front of me here, it's not the kind of thing that most people have. Most people don't to make their broadcasts with laptop microphones or the microphones in their cell phones, which are actually pretty good quality, but
yeah.
It's awkward to do a radio show holding a cell phone in front of you. So
yeah.
All right. We've been listening to Sunrise, a new track by Jake Feeney, coming up on a new album. Have you got a name for the album yet?
I don't. I mean, I think I have the name for the next song. I have a couple songs lined up. I'm going to put them out kind of one by one. And then if it seems like they belong with each other, or I write a batch of songs that go with them, then maybe I'll consider an album. But right now, yeah, I'm just playing the singles game, doing singles.
Okay, well, that's a good way, because, you know, it gives a bit of focus to what you're doing. It's going to have
exactly,
concentrate
yeah.
on just Sunrise, the track we've just played. It's music that well, you play in a bunch of different styles. One of the things that you showed off at when you were in the studio last time was something called fingerstyle guitar. Travis picking, I think, is what you called it.
That's right, yeah, Travis picking.
Can you just explain again what that is?
Of course. So basically, it's more involved in your right hand than your left. I mean, if you're a right-handed guitarist, it would be the opposite. If you're left-handed, but
so the right hand is the one that usually does the strumming at the body of the guitar, right? Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, over the sound hole. So the main part is keeping the rhythm with your thumb. So you kind of bounce your thumb from either the sixth to the fourth string or the fifth to the third. It doesn't really matter which one, but you're kind of using your thumb to keep a bouncing rhythm going. And then once you get that part down, you realize you kind of have a song with just your thumb, and then it leaves the rest of your fingers to, you know, paint a melody over top of whatever your thumb is providing. So I think of it as the thumb is doing the bass of it, and then the rest of your fingers can create any, you know, any melody over that. And it really has a good rhythmic feel, and I discovered this type of picking through The Tallest Man on Earth, the musician, not the actual tallest man on earth, but he's from Sweden, and most of his songs do involve the Travis picking. And I was just obsessed with it, and I tried to learn every one of his songs, and then it bled into my own songs. And I remember I was learning a couple one night in high school, and then I started writing my own little chord progression with that picking style. And that same night I wrote and finished Growing Pains. So that was a one night song.
Oh.
It doesn't happen very often. I don't think it actually has happened since then.
Songwriting is a much more involved and painful process then, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you never know what you're going to get. That time I was lucky, and I am still grateful for it, but yeah, you never know.
So Growing Pains is a good example then of the Travis picking. That's the one where I saw you play, and you know, was pretty much impressed with how you can do multiple things all at the same time on one guitar.
Thank you.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Let's have a quick lesson. This is Growing Pains, recorded in the CKMS studio last year in March. Jake Feeney, Growing Pains.
Sometimes the ground you're on ends up caving in. That's when you feel it all harder than it's ever been. Remember, one day you will be looking back and you will see. Even though it hurts today, these are all just growing pains. These are all just growing pains. Take a deep, deep breath. Put on your favorite song. Know that in time you'll heal, and time doesn't take too long. Remember, one day you will be looking back and you will see. Even though these are all just growing pains. These are all just growing pains. Mm-hmm. know it hurts today. These are all just growing pains. These are all just growing pains. These are all just growing pains.
We've been listening to Jake Feeney. That was Growing Pains, recorded in the CKMS studio last year. In the background is Zolt Homanai, who's playing a little bit more fingerstyle guitar. We got a call earlier this week from Harry Kaler, who called up to say that on Sunday the 30th of May, his mom is turning 90. And his mom requested that we play some music for her, and we're very, very happy to do that. Back in 1979, when some of us were young pups and some of us weren't even around then, Crystal had an invitation to go to Toronto to see ABBA in concert. ABBA was doing a world tour at the time, and got told, "No, you shouldn't go to this. Concerts are for young people." And Crystal said to herself, "Well, I'll catch them the next time they come to Toronto." And of course, ABBA never toured again, so that was a lost opportunity. Don't ever let anybody tell you that a particular style of music is just for young people. Music is for everybody of all ages. And so what I would like to do is play for Crystal Dancing Queen. This is Zolt Homanai playing Dancing Queen as fingerstyle. Now, when I spoke to Harry, Harry said, "Well, what kind of music do you play at the station?" And I told Harry, "Well, we play all kinds of music. We play folk music, we play heavy metal music." And Harry said, "Well, you know, heavy metal probably isn't the right thing for our birthday, so we're going to be playing Dancing Queen right now by Zolt Homanai, followed by Dancing Queen recorded live in the 1979 tour at the Wembley Arena in London. This is Zolt Homanai. Dancing Queen by ABBA. And happy birthday to you, Crystal Kohler, 90 years old, on the 30th of May, this coming Sunday. When I spoke to Harry, he asked, what kind of music do you play? And I said, well, you play all kinds, including metal. And I just couldn't resist. This is Leo Morricone playing Dancing Queen in the style of metal. Little bit of metal music to start off your Monday. Got Jake Feeney on the line with us. Never got into metal music, did you, Jake?
Yeah, I haven't. But the day may still come. I mean, that got me grooving a little bit, I have to say.
Well, I think that's partly the fact that it's ABBA, but certainly part of the fact that it's Leo Morricone. Leo Morricone has this YouTube channel. I think it's called Leaping Frog, which is his studio out in Norway. And he takes all sorts of popular music and turns it into metal covers. Really, really good musician to be able to just transform everything into metal. I've been listening to metal. You know, there's some programs on CKMS that deal exclusively with metal. And I don't know, I surprised myself by enjoying it. So.
Yeah, I was a little surprised there too at how I was getting into it. I'll have to listen to some more metal.
Start with Leo Morricone, and that'll be a good start. What have you got planned in the future? Are you doing anything online? Are you having Facebook concerts, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I haven't done that. I think it's more just having not having like the right space to do that. But also I was just kind of focused on the recording and the production side of this thing. And then, now that I'm done and the song's released, I just kind of want to get back into it again with the next song. So, but
so no time
not
for,
opposed, not opposed to doing the live streams. I think maybe if I can figure out a good space to do it, and I'd feel more comfortable doing it.
Yeah, I think you need a larger studio set up than just a desk with a couple of computers.
Yeah, just the corner of the bedroom.
Yeah, There's people who've been taking advantage of their remote recording capability and teaching. Have you thought of doing that?
I have now. Now I'm teaching guitar would be great. I briefly started doing that a while ago. Just had a couple people I was teaching. I think one of them moved away or something like that. But it's something to, do that involves music. And I really just want to make sure everything I'm doing somehow involves music. So that's a good one. And
I'm, again, very happily surprised that online music classes are such a useful and practical thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. There's so much out there. I mean, I definitely turned to YouTube and stuff when I was learning, just certain things or maybe a song that I couldn't figure out how they were doing it. I would watch on YouTube. Watch them play it, that kind of thing. But there's so much out there, and especially with learning production, like learning how to use Logic, which is my audio workstation of choice.
Yeah.
There's tons out there to learn on YouTube for tutorials. If you don't know how to do something on Logic, you'll find it on YouTube.
Yeah. What I was thinking of is that somebody could learn everything off YouTube.
I think you could learn everything in the world off YouTube.
Carpentry, car repairs, it's watching this thing about complex gears and it's actually a video from the 1930s. But they've got some animation there and somebody's uploaded it to YouTube. It's got now 600,000 hits. Who'd have thought that an instructional video from 80 years ago, 90 years ago, is still going to be that popular today? So, if you put something online, you're going to be looking at Jake Feeney from 100 years ago teaching fingerstyle picking.
That's true. Yeah, you'd never know. Wow. That's amazing. I want to find that video.
Yeah. Stuff on the internet lives forever. At least you hope it lives forever. There's always a chance that something like YouTube is going to cease production. If it turns out to be unprofitable for whoever's running the site, those things may disappear.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That would be crazy.
Be careful. The only thing that will survive, I think, is cat videos.
They always find a way.
Doesn't matter what kind of platform you've got, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or YouTube, you're going to end up with cat videos. Have you seen the cat video, the theremin cat, the lugga lugga cat?
Oh, no, I don't think I have. No.
Oh, you're not spending enough time online yet, Jake.
I haven't seen enough cat videos this year.
Two videos that I've run across is somebody who is teasing a cat. There's a gray cat sitting on some sort of rack, and there's a fellow who lowers his hand down to the cat, and the cat is annoyed, making that really annoyed, dangerous cat sound.
And I know it very well.
you have cats?
We got three.
Yeah, so you're very much familiar with that. Well, this cat makes this meow sound in a tuneful manner, and there have been at least two video artists that have managed to turn this into music. The first is The Kiffness. I don't know if you know The Kiffness. He did something with the sea shanties a few months back when sea shanties were the popular thing on the internet.
Okay.
And then there's Meredith Bull, who's a voice artist in Los Angeles, who actually shows the videos of how she records the music. She'll give a little clip of the original, the cat video, and then she shows how she imports that into her digital audio workstation and adds bass and drums and kicks and claps and does some pitch alterations and turns these cat videos into music.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that she shows the whole process of it. That's
really cool. It's like a 40-second TikTok video, but you get the idea. All the secrets are there, and anybody could do it, but very few people do, and very few people do it well.
You're right.
So I want to indulge myself. I want to indulge you by playing some of these music. The first is the A Lug A Lug Cat with the Kiffness, and then I Don't Want to Be Touched by Mary This Bull from the internet. Jake Feeney from Toronto. Coming up.
Say, I mean, my cat came in during that. I think he heard it through my headphones.
I think cats all over the world are now looking to become famous by having their voices put to music.
Right.
Yes. You singer-songwriters out there, beware, you can be replaced by a cat.
I've always been worried about that.
Jake Feeley, thank you very much for coming to join us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Bob. Thank
it's
you.
Been great.
Appreciate it.
When the studio reopens, hope to have you back in. No? Perform
yes,
some new music. You've been listening to CKNS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman, speaking with Jake Feeney. We're listening to Spider-Man in the background. That's Andy Klein, who sadly passed away earlier this month. Musicians FAQ host Steve Todd will have an interview with Andy Klein, recorded much earlier, next week, Monday, from 10 to 11. It's Steve Todd's last show. We'll be... Musicians FAQ will be hosted by Stuart McKee after June the 1st. CKNS Community Connections is hosted by me, Bob Jonkman. Associate producers are Jeff Stager, Dylan Davener, Jordan Dorns, and now Steve Todd as well. Steve Todd will be taking over this spot next week to feature more Andy Klein music during the 11 to noon slot on CKNS Community Connections. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. You're here every Monday. See you again in a couple of weeks.